Well, good morning, everybody. You're all very welcome to First Rathfrail. And if you're a visitor with us this morning, good morning and welcome to you. I just have some announcements for us to share with you this morning. If you just bear with me for a few moments, I'll be as quick as I can. The children will leave for Children's Church and Sunday School after the singing of the praise. And all been well, the creche facilities are back up and running again, particularly the live stream or the link between here and the minor hall should be operational again should you wish to leave, maybe with a young member of the family or whatever. So we'll keep an eye on that over the coming days to make sure that it still works for us. This incoming Tuesday evening, the 18th of June, a reminder for Kirk Session, that the Kirk Session will meet in the Morrison Room at 7:30 p.m. And next Sunday morning, prayer meeting at 11 a.m. as usual in the Minor Hall. And then morning worship next Sunday morning is again as usual at 11:30 a.m. The Reverend Moody will be swapping pulpits with the Reverend Seamus Burke, our neighbouring congregations of 2nd and 3rd Presbyterian, and the Reverend Burke will be leading our morning worship service here. And that's next Sunday morning. Next Monday evening, the 24th of June, the first meeting of the new church committee will take place in the church hall at 7:30 p.m. Children's Church will be ongoing throughout the summer months for all primary school children. A list is available in the vestibule for anyone who would consider maybe helping or volunteering and helping with that work. Just a reminder too, the Sunday school trip to Dublin Zoo is planned for next Saturday, the 22nd of June. The coach will be leaving the church here at 9 a.m. sharp and returning home here to Rathfrailan at approximately 6 p.m. Just please note a wee change in the times there, leaving at 9 a.m. and not 9:30 as previously stated. There are still some places available should you want to join the Sunday school in that trip. And so if anyone's interested in going along, if you want to speak to either Colin Boyd or Heather Hannah, that would be much appreciated. A reminder too that graveyard maintenance fees are now due at this time of year. And a wee note from the treasurer just to say, could everyone with a grave in the adjoining graveyard, just a reminder that it's £20 per grave and up to a maximum of £40 for multiple plots. And just to put it into context, just to say that the annual cost of maintaining the church grounds is approximately £4,000 per annum. These are all my announcements, and I hand over to the Reverend Moody.
Good morning, and welcome to our service here at First Rathfrailan. Just a few extra announcements, just for those who are taking Children's Church. There is now a church laptop available, and it will have songs, quizzes. It will have some little Superbook video clips of Bible stories and Saddleback video clips already stored on it. So if you want to use that upstairs in the Morrison Room and you're not sure, you can chat with me and I can hopefully show you how to use it. So that will be available from now on. And will also be able to be used by the other organisations, by the way, in the future. Also, just to remind you, there is a holiday Bible club planned again for First Rathfrailan. It's not for a long while yet, the 19th to the 23rd of August. But we have had two meetings already, just preliminary meetings. But again, there is a sheet out in the foyer. We need more people to help us as the invites will go out before the end of June to the different schools in the area. And hopefully we'll have a large amount of people. So I'm also going to leave some of these at the back. So you can even take one now just to continue or start to pray for the Holiday Bible Club later this summer. Now, I know there's lots of talk about elections going on. We've had our own committee election. And now I'm going to reveal to you the 24 committee members that you voted on to First Rough Island Committee. So I've got them in alphabetical order for surname and first name, so that's the best way I thought I could do it. And this list will be available. Every committee member knows it. I've phoned them, but it'll also be available sometime soon at the back, so you can look and see. Okay. Your new committee. Anne Annett, David Annett, John Annett, Roy Annett, James Annett Jr., John Bell, Andrew Bronte, John Bronte, Mark Bronte, Martin Burrows, Neil Cheney, Richard Edgar, William Fraser, Heather Hanna, John Hanna, Jim Herbison, Rebecca McConnell, Trevor McConnell, Jonathan McDowell, Mervyn McDowell, Sandra O'Hara, Marion Ross, Rita Ross, and David Stevenson. So that is your new committee elected by the congregation here at First. And again, I look forward to working with you over at least the next 4 years. It's usually a four-year term. So we'll start next Monday evening. So thank you. Thank you for agreeing. Thank you for voting, and thank you for agreeing to take up those posts. Now, we gather here today, of course, to worship the one true living God. In 1 Timothy 6, we read, God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor, might, forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand and worship our King as we sing the hymn, Come People of the Risen King. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we rejoice as we come to this place today. We rejoice that we can, that we have the privilege of being allowed to live in your presence, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We can live in your presence. We can serve you. We can enjoy your blessings now and forever. Lord, we praise your name. Lord, we acknowledge that we can only come in and through Jesus, your Son, in and through the blood that he spilt for us in Calvary, his body broken, so our sins could be forgiven, so we can come as your children before you, our Father. Lord, we praise your name. And Lord, as we come this day, we pray that you will encourage us once again through your word, through the hymns that we sing. We pray that you will challenge us again through your word. Lord, you will show us the things that are missing in our lives that should not be, the things that are perhaps there in our lives, those things that we harbor that we should not allow. Lord, show us them and cause us to be quick to repent, to confess our sins to you, our God. Lord, I pray that as we gather here today, you will prepare us for a new week, that we may be able to go out living our lives for you. Bring a blessing to others as we go out serving you, our King. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, in our Bible reading today, we will start in the Old Testament, the book of Kings, 1 Kings chapter 17, reading from verse 1 to 7. And then we'll go after that over to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 6. So let us hear the word of the Lord. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Galad said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years, except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there'd been no rain in the land. Amen. May God bless the reading of his holy word. And then over to Mark 6. Mark 6, commencing to read at verse 7. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing from the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. They went out and preached and people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Amen. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Now, if the children will come up to the front, I will come down and speak to everyone there. How you all doing today? You doing well? Yeah? You're very quiet today. Well, now, tell me this. Very simple question for you. Who gives you what you need? Who gives you what you need day by day? Think, there's loads of people involved in making sure you have all that you need. Tell me some of them. Yeah?
God and Jesus. God and the Lord Jesus, yes, that is true. But who else? Yes? Your mother gives you what you need. Who made your breakfast this morning? Yeah? Your
farmers.
Yes, farmers do give us the stuff we need. I'm sure, so we can have our eggs. So we can have. But who made your breakfast this morning? I thought you were putting your hand up to tell me who. Who made your breakfast this morning? Your daddy? Did he make your breakfast for Father's Day? Did you show your fathers any thankfulness today? Did you? I'm sure you always are. Yeah. What did you give me, Megan? A card. And on that card was this little Percy Pig. I'm not sure why. But funnily enough, there wasn't the sweets that went along with it. Maybe the sweets are later. I don't know. Sorry? Pepper Pig. This is Percy Pig. But anyway, so for some people, your fathers, maybe your mum, maybe your brothers and sisters, older brothers and sisters made you breakfast this morning. Different people help. And as we were reminded very well there, the farmers, other people work so we can work very hard so we can have the food we need to eat. Other people in the house work very hard so they can buy the food for us so we can eat it. Who else helps you and gives you what you need? Think. It's not just all about food. Not even what you wear. Other people give you something very important that you should be thankful for. Yes?
Love.
Sorry?
Love.
Love? Yeah. Yeah, others show you love, and that's very important to thank those who show you love. Anything else you get? Each day of the week, I would imagine, from Monday to Friday. Maybe from 9 o'clock to about 2 or 3. You get something very important. No one really wants to acknowledge this is important. It doesn't seem this morning. Yes? Well, they may give you homework, yes. But they also hopefully give you good teaching when you're there. Teachers teach you what you will need to know, sometimes right now, but certainly in the future. So you should be thankful for them. But there's a lot of people, if you're not so well, maybe the doctor or a nurse will give you what you need to help you. So we really depend on so many other people, don't we, for what we need. And the Bible tells us there were lots of people in the Bible that had a need that they couldn't fill themselves. For example, hopefully, yes, the people of Israel in the desert, no Burger Kings or McDonald's or those supermarkets to get food. But how did God provide them for food in the middle of the desert? Yeah. Not yet. That was a wee bit later. But for the people of Israel, hundreds of thousands of people needed food. And God gave them this very, very strange thing. Well, it's even on the screen there just to help. Come on, congregation. Oh, yeah. Manna. Do you know what manna means? Manna means, it's the Hebrew for, what is it? Because when they looked out of their tents in the morning and they saw this stuff over the ground, that's what they asked. What is it? And it's the English manna. So it was a type of bread type of thing that they could use and eat. God supplied their needs. God also gave them quail, little birds, so they could also have meat. Right in the middle of the desert, when they had nothing, God provided. What else do you think would be very scarce in a desert? Something you need quite a lot of. Yeah? Yeah? Water. Yeah, they had no water. So God told Moses at this point to go and hit a rock and water would come out. Later on, God told Moses on down through the journey just to ask and he would provide water from the rock. Then he didn't do what he was told, but that's another story. God did provide them with water. Water from a rock in the middle of the desert. Isn't that amazing? Because God was looking after them and providing them with what they needed. Then, of course, we had Elijah. That's the king pointing, the king sitting there. Do you think the king liked Elijah? When Elijah told him there's going to be no more, you've heard in the verses read, there's going to be no more rain or water until I say, would the king be happy? Would he? No, he'd be so cross. And Elijah had to escape. He had to hide. But he also needed water. So what did God do? Remember, you should always listen to the Bible readings in church, because that has the answers. What did God do for Elijah when it came to water? Do you know? Well, he directed him. He directed him exactly to where the water was, to a little brook, and that's where he was able to drink. And how did he provide food? I'm not sure if I would really like this way of food delivery, but yes, through ravens. I knew you'd said it before, so God, someone else has said this time. Ravens, imagine that. Food delivery by ravens. They brought him meat. They brought him bread, morning and evening. Another time, when Elijah wasn't really up for much, he got food another way. But God always provided, even when it seemed impossible. Daniel. What did Daniel and his friends need? They were in a far-off land. They didn't know too much. New laws, new rules, but God looked after them, didn't he? God gave them something very important, something we all need. We all need each and every day. He gave them wisdom. Wisdom, knowing to do the right thing at the right time. God gave Daniel and his three friends wisdom because they stayed faithful to God. They wouldn't eat what God said they shouldn't eat, even though everybody else was. They obeyed God, and God gave them wisdom, amazing wisdom. When they came before Nebuchadnezzar, he found they were 10 times wiser than others. Would you like wisdom? Knowing the right thing to do at the right time, very important. Well, God gives it as we ask for it. Remember Daniel when he was a bit older? He needed something else because Daniel was always faithful to God. He prayed. How many times did Daniel pray? Do you know? Well, we're going to have to do a wee series on Daniel sometimes. But Daniel prayed faithfully 3 times in a way that others could see. But he prayed to God. Even when there was a law that said you shouldn't pray to God, Daniel still obeyed God. And because of that, what happened to Daniel? What was he thrown into? Yeah? A lion's den. Would you like to go into a lion's den? Don't. See, when you go to Dublin Zoo next week. Yeah, the zoo, we're going. Stay on this side. Don't go in because lions, they would love you to go in, but not nice. But look, when Daniel was there, God gave him protection. He protected him as he needed it. Isn't that amazing? God gave all these people what they needed as they needed it. Why? Why? Why did God do that? Well, because they trusted in him, they obeyed him, and he cared for them. He loved them. He loved them, but they also sought to live their lives for God. And God promises us, each one of us, as we seek to live for him, as we trust in Christ, as we seek to live for him, he will give us what we need. Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours. What a promise. Is that not amazing? God will make sure you have everything you need, not everything you want, because we can want things that aren't good for us. We can want far too much. But God promises us. It's in God's word. He says, and my God, this is Paul said this in Philippians, but it's the word of God, and my God will supply every need of yours. Isn't that amazing? You're as special to God as these other people we hear about in the Bible. As you trust in him, as you seek to live for him, he promises to give you what you need. A promise from God. Don't doubt it. Trust him. It's important that you trust him, that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ yourself. It's important then that you ask him for what you need, for your daily bread. That's how we're taught to pray through the Lord's Prayer. Ask him for wisdom whenever you're having to do those things. Well, some of you already have to do those other things called exams, don't you? You could be praying for the intelligence and for the patience to study way before the exam. We need to pray for wisdom, knowing how to act, and God will help. Ask. God is ready to give it to you, just that you give it to these other people, and then thank him. Thank him for all the wonderful things he gives you. Don't take him for granted. Make sure you're trusting, make sure you're asking, and make sure you're thanking him for all the things he has given you. Because God promises, do not forget this. God promises he will supply all you need. Not what you want, all that you need. That's a promise from God in his word. So make sure you trust him, make sure you're living for him, and then ask him for what you need. He will give it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a great God, a God who loves us, a God who cares for us, a God who will give us all we need. Lord, help us to trust in you. Help us to live for you. And then help us to keep asking for what we need. And then thanking you when we receive it. Because you are a great and loving God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to sing our children's hymn, and I believe it's a video on the screen. It's the video, one of the songs you sang for Children's Day, Shine From The Inside Out. Okay? So we're all going to try and sing this together, hopefully, once it starts.
The world will see you live in me. Shine from the inside out, and that the world will see you live in me. You know me and you love me, you feel me, so send me to shine from the inside out, and that the world will see you live in me.
Great. Now, in our time of prayer, we are going to give thanks. We're going to give thanks for all the things God does give us day by day. And we'll give thanks for the offering. as well. Ask God to bless that. But we'll also bring our prayers before God as well. Excuse me. We will pray for our new committee, that God will use them and the gifts they have given. God has given them. Use them here in church and beyond. We will also pray for, there's a little thing happening this week up in Belfast called the General Assembly. And there'll be a lot of resolutions and things passed that will affect the whole church in Ireland and perhaps beyond. So please pray. Please pray for the minister and the elder. There's always a representative from each church, an elder that goes up. And each person has a vote. So it's not just people up in Belfast in some building making a decision by themselves. It's your representatives from every church in Ireland that goes and votes. So pray. Pray that God's will shall be done. Pray for all the different things that still have to be organised. I would hate to have to organise such a big conference in Belfast. Pray for all the partner churches and mission agencies that will be sending their representatives. And of course, pray for the moderator at the minute, the Reverend Dr. Sam McWinney, and the one coming in, Richard, the Reverend, Richard Doctor, the Reverend, hold on, Dr. Reverend Richard Murray, Richard, and his wife, Lynn. Pray for them as they're about to take, well, as Richard's about to take that position. Difficult one. A lot of questions he'll be asked and answering on the cuff. So just pray that God continues to give him the wisdom he needs. Also pray for, there's a few people from the congregation in different hospitals at this time. So just keep praying for those who are in hospital, that God will give them the care that they need right now and the healing that they need. So let us come before the Lord and let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God that cares for each one of us. You love each one of us. You're our Creator. You're our King. And in Christ, you're our Heavenly Father. Lord, we give you thanks that you're concerned for us, concerned enough to make sure we have what we need as we look to you. We thank you that you give us our daily bread and so much more. You're a faithful God. We thank you. And Lord, we give you our offerings as a token of our thanks and pray that you will use them for your glory and honor. We pray that you will bless them for your use. Lord, we thank you for the committee. We thank you for the committee that there was and the hard work that they did. We thank you for the new committee. We thank you for the gifts, the abilities you've given them. And Lord, I pray that you will help each of us on that committee, the committee members, and also the session that sit on that, in that meeting. Lord, I pray that you will use us together with the abilities we have for your glory and honor here. Just help us. Help us as we seek to serve you and serve others. Help us do this faithfully, we pray. Lord, we pray for the General Assembly taking place this week. We pray for those representatives which will be coming from partner churches and mission organizations, agencies, maybe from across the seas. Lord, we pray that you will grant them safety as they come. We pray, Lord, that it will be a time of blessing. Lord, as we seek your will done together. Lord, we pray for the resolutions that have to be, that are made and voted for. We pray that you will guide us so it's not our will but your will that shall be done. Lord, I pray that you will give the present moderator and Richard, who will be made moderator during the General Assembly, Lord, give them wisdom as they will be asked so many questions, people trying to perhaps trip them up. Lord, just give them the wisdom they need as they seek to serve you in this position. Give them wisdom, we pray. And Lord, for all those in assembly buildings that will be working so hard, that have been working so hard to prepare for this assembly and who will, Lord, just continue to give them the energy they need, the wisdom they need, Lord, and all the preparations that need to be done. And as we meet, Lord, may it be a blessed time. Lord, I pray too for those who are in hospital at this moment. Lord, for those who are in pain, those who have suffered falls and breaks. Lord, I pray that you will be healing. We thank you for those who already have gone through the operations that are needed. And we pray for those who will, shortly, hopefully. We pray that you will just guide the hands of the surgeons, Lord, and just give health, the care that's needed at this time. Lord, for those who are about to get out of hospital, Lord, we pray that you will help through the rehabilitation process that can be so tough. Lord, help them and bring good carers to them that will help them in this process. Lord, I pray for each one of us here this morning. Lord, I pray that you will give us all that we need so we can go forth and serve you. Help us be faithful wherever we are this week. Help us be the light you call us to be. Help us to use the skills, the abilities you have given each one of us as your children for your glory, for your honor, to help those around us. Lord, give us the opportunities and help us take each one. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to stand and continue to worship God as we sing, "Speak, O Lord."
Thank you.
delegation, they say, is the key to getting anything done. Trying to do everything by yourself is absolutely impossible. It's one of the reasons why in church we have session, we have committee. We have many other leaders that work so hard during the year because one person could not do everything. Delegating is the way to go. And that's what we find here in Scripture, of course, also. The Lord Jesus has been teaching others the Word of God. He has been showing others something of His mighty hand through miracles. Now, He says, it's time for His disciples, well, for the 12, to go. Again, in the Gospels, when the Bible talks about disciples, it talks about many. Those who follow Christ are called disciples. The 12 are the 12 disciples or apostles. And here He tells them it's time for them to go. Again, in Luke 10, verse 1, we read, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of Him, two by two, into every town and place where He Himself was about to go. So not even just the disciples. Jesus had a habit of this, delegating, getting others ready so they could go and spread the gospel. Matthew 28, verse 19. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. They were to go. They were to go and spread the gospel. It is not finished with Jesus. The gospel message had to continually be spread. It was not to be hidden, not to be kept to a special few. The whole world needed to know. Therefore, others needed to get involved. Others needed to start proclaiming it too. And that's what we find here. These 12, we're told, were given special authority by the Lord Jesus to proclaim in His name, authority by Jesus to do amazing things. Oops. In Mark 6, 7, they were given authority over evil spirits. And again, that was to show that their message was true. Again, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 12 tells us, the things that mark an apostle, signs, wonders, and miracles were done among you with great perseverance. They were given these signs so they could be shown that others would know the reality of what they were saying. It was authentic. Today, of course, today we have a commission. We have a commission and authority given to us by God. Each one that bears the name Christian in Christ has a part to play. We are all commissioned, as it were, not just ministers, missionaries. Every single one of us as Christians has a part. Our authority, of course, comes from God's word. We have the gospel, the message the world needs to know. The authority is found from God's word. Authenticity comes from proclaiming the word of God. Not our own thoughts, but God's word is what we are taught to teach. We are told to go into this world teaching God's word as we do what God's word says. As people look at you each day, as they look at me, they can see we are not perfect. But what we speak, what comes out of our lips, should already be seen coming out of our lives. So there's an authenticity to it. We are all called to live what we preach, as it were, live what we proclaim, live what we believe, so we have a right to proclaim it. Helping the world to know the one true living God. How were these disciples to go and do this? Well, Jesus tells them. They are to go with a staff and sandals, a traveler staff. Again, many in the the world at that time. The staff was used for many things. It was used as a means of self-defense against robbers and wild animals. But it also had with it that sense of authority, as we see through Scripture. In Numbers 17, for example, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and get for them staffs, one for each father's house from all their chiefs according to their father's houses. 12 staffs, write each man's name on his staff." So there was some kind of authority shown with the person with the staff, like Moses and Elijah. But we read here, that is what they were to take with them. Now, if you were planning to go on a journey somewhere, you would possibly want to take a little bit more. You would think they're not so prepared. What about money? What about a bag to carry what you needed? Well, they wouldn't need a bag because they were told to take nothing. No extra tunic, no bread. They were to go with nothing but a staff and sandals. That's how they were to go and proclaim the gospel. Now, this was not a vow of poverty, an example that everyone is supposed to take who takes the gospel message. You are to go with nothing else, because later on, this was specifically for the disciples at this time, as we'll see, because later on in Luke 22, it says, "And he said to them, when I sent you out with no money bag or knapsack or sandals, did you lack anything? They said, nothing. He said to them, but now, let the one who has a money bag take it, and likewise a knapsack, and let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one." Now, that verse isn't saying the minister has to go out and buy another sword this week, but it's saying the ministry was not supposed to, it was at that time an example to them of faith, how they could depend on God. Other people took this as something they should do throughout their whole lives, where Jesus tells them here specifically, no, there was a time for that. Now, take your money bag, take your knapsack, take your sword if you need it, and go and preach the gospel. So it was not a vow of poverty. It certainly would have reminded them, however, of the time of the first Passover, when God would bring destruction on the Egyptians and release for the faithful. In Exodus 12, verse 11, there it says, "In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals in your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." So again, these disciples were going out with their staff, with their sandals, to obey what God had said and to reach others with the gospel. Again, John MacArthur says it was like a boot camp on trust. Can you imagine them? Leaving almost everything, leaving everything you might depend on, just with a staff and sandals, go and just preach the gospel. Through this, the disciples would have been continuing to learn that, yes, God is the great provider. God was the one that called them to him by the Holy Spirit, just as he calls us to him through the Holy Spirit. He calls us, convicting us of our sins. We trust in him. He is the one that equips us to serve him through the Holy Spirit. He is the one that gives us the gifts, the talents we need to do the things he calls us to do. He provides for our material needs in various ways as we trust in him. He provides for us the skills he has given us, the circumstances he leads us to, and by other people. God provides everything we need as we faithfully serve him, as we do as he asks us. We can have great confidence in this. The God that calls us to himself, the God that gives us tasks to do for him, will help us do them. He will provide everything for us. Again, that's what we were looking at with the young ones. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. That is a promise. It's a promise that we see the reality of when we act on it. Again, in CEF, like every CEF worker, you go out depending on God. You raise support and rely on others to give. And in doing that, you see God's hand. It's difficult, but it's also a privilege, because then you see God does work. God does work in providing what you need. And every person that goes out in whatever way, trusting God, depending on God, doing what God asks, you will find that God is faithful. God will give you everything you need as you need it, as you trust and do as he asks. Doing is seeing. We said that a few weeks ago, remember? Sometimes people used to say, seeing is believing. But in the Bible, as you act upon God's promises, then you will see the reality of it in your own life. As you take God's promises like this, depending on God, doing what God asks, then you will find God is faithful. God is faithful. So make sure you do. Take the opportunities God gives you and do as he asks, going and sharing the gospel with others. On the other side of that, trust and give. Give to those who are trusting in God, relying on God as they go out to spread God's word. They do need support from God's people. So continue to pray. Continue to pray and look for opportunities where you can help others as they are giving of themselves to reach out. Again, through the church, we support ECM, BCM, CEF Workers, Revival Movement. Always seek opportunities to help others who are serving God in those ways. It is a good use of the money that you have gathered, supporting those who are using their gifts to reach others with the gospel. So always be prayerfully thinking about that, looking for opportunities to continue to give so others can be faithful as they go. Because these disciples, as they took nothing, they were depending on others who would support them, as people still are today. So trust and go yourself in your everyday life, doing what God tells you, but also support those who are going, depending on God completely, and followers of Christ. What were they to do? What were the disciples to do as they went? I'm sure they went trembling. But they were to go and they were to preach repentance. Mark 6, verse 12, they went out and preached that people should repent. That's an important part of the gospel, isn't it? A call of repentance. It goes out all the way through the Old Testament. You know, I was teaching in schools the last few weeks, and with Jonah, the message God had for Jonah to the Ninevites, to repent, to stop what they were doing, confess their sins before God and start doing what is right. John the Baptist called people to repentance. Jesus' message was a time of repentance, was a message of repentance. Mark 1:15, the time has come, he said, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Repentance, again, a change of direction. The Bible tells us we all have done wrong. We all disobey God, going our own way instead of God's. Repentance is stopping doing what's wrong. Confessing our sins to Christ and then seeking his help to go and do what's right, to do his will. We need to stop, tell God we're sorry, and start doing what's right. That's part of what it means to become a Christian. Hand in hand, of course, with trusting in Christ, there's repentance and trust. But repentance is something we need to continually do as Christians, isn't it? Because you're as perfect as I am. We're not. When we find things in our lives that we shouldn't be doing, we stop it. Ask God's help to stop it. Sometimes it's not so easy. Ask God's help to stop doing what's wrong. Seek his help, telling him we're sorry for doing what's wrong, and then ask his help to do what's right. We all need to be continuing to repent of those sins we find in our lives. But there must be at the start of the Christian walk a repentance, turning from our sins to seek God's help to go his way as we trust in Christ. It is vital. Again, Luke 13, verse 5 tells us, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. So important. Repentance is something we really enjoy hearing about, isn't it? Something we love. It's not. But imagine you're heading out in your car. You find you're going the wrong way. You need to hear you're going the wrong way. You still may not accept you're going the wrong way. Some of us don't like to hear it when someone tells us, no, we should go this way instead of that. When you're going the wrong way, you need to stop going the wrong way. You need to stop and then turn around and start going the right way. A change of direction is needed. There is no gospel without repentance. There is no forgiveness, the Bible says, without repentance. John MacArthur said, to preach anything less constitutes a serious breach of the herald's divinely ordained responsibility. Repentance, as we find it here again, is necessary for all. That is part of what we need to do. It's part of the message we need to let others know. Others need to repent from their sin, turn and trust in Christ. And we depend on God to help us pass that message across faithfully. That's what the disciples were to do, the 12. And as they did this, of course, there was action. God gave them the authority to cast out demons and to heal the sick. This was to show the reality of who they were, that they were true heralds, that the message they had was valid. Matthew 10, verse 8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons, freely you have received, freely give. As well mentioned before, we do not all have such authority today. We are not apostles. But we are all called to demonstrate the reality of our message through how we act. We couple our proclamation of the word with everyday acts of love. We couple the proclamation of God's word by living God's word before all, proclaiming the gospel and showing it. They must go hand in hand. That is what we are called to do. Go out, be that light. As we said with the children, shine. We are called to shine. How well do we do that? How much light do people see of us in our ordinary interactions? Because everything we do as Christians, we are either pointing people to Christ or by our attitudes and actions, possibly pointing people away. We need to be praying that God will help us in our actions, in our reactions, with our attitudes, that God continually changes us from the inside out. So we can be the witnesses God calls us to be. So we can be powerful witnesses as we go forth simply living God's word in everything we do, wherever we are. That's a powerful thing. And that's what we should be doing as Christians. And then as opportunities come, also proclaiming God's word. What else were the disciples told to do? Well, they were told something that might shock us. When their message was not accepted, this is what they were told to do. They were told to shake the dust off their feet and leave. Shake the dust off their feet and leave. This is what the Jewish person would have done after leaving Gentile territory, showing their what had nothing more to do with it. Now Jesus is telling his disciples to do the same thing against those people who have heard the gospel yet continue to reject it. And that's something they do in practice. In Acts 13, those that rejected the gospel, the Jews that incited the God-fearing woman and the leading man to throw Paul and Barnabas out, well, Paul and Barnabas shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went on to Iconium. They had their chance. They rejected it. They went forth. See, without repentance and acceptance of Christ, they cannot be God's people. Without repentance and acceptance of Christ, the Bible says they are rejected. And that is the same for us. It's good to know the gospel, isn't it? It's good to know what we're supposed to do. But if it's still only something you know, then that's not good enough. Until you accept the gospel message by actually repenting, turning from your sins, confessing your sinfulness to God and trusting in Christ, seeking his help to follow him day by day. Until then, you're not one of God's people, according to Scripture. You need to make sure you do not reject his word. Rejection is serious. It means separation from God forever. It means eternal judgment forever. Do not reject the gospel. When you hear it, accept it and act upon it. Make sure you repent and trust, and make sure you then go. What opportunities await you in this incoming week as a Christian? What opportunities await you? What opportunities await those around you to see another example of what it means to be a follower of Christ? To possibly hear what it means to be a follower of Christ from you? You've heard the gospel so many times from this pulpit, from people far more faithful than I am, so you know it. We're all called to pass it on. Look for those opportunities this week. As you live for God, also seek to speak for God, proclaiming to those around you too that they need to repent and trust in Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those who have been faithful in proclaiming your word in the past. We thank you for those neighbors, those family members, those church members, Lord, who have been faithful enough to show us something of what your word says as they live it out each day. And for those who actually came and shared the gospel with us, we thank you for that. And we pray you will help us do the same. Help us be faithful. Help us use the gifts you have given us to shine out in this incoming week. Help us have the desire to live for you. Help us to be quick to repent when we find something wrong in our lives. And help us to follow you day by day, living for you and taking those opportunities that are all around us for you. Help us be your faithful disciples too. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to stand and sing our final hymn, Filled with Compassion.
Oh,
now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you, both now and forevermore. Amen.